So yesterday morning, the artificial intelligence industry quietly canceled its all-you-can-eat buffet.
Yeah, the free ride is officially over.
It really is. For the last 2 years, tech giants have essentially been eating the massive electricity bills for the AI revolution, just, to get everyone hooked on the ecosystem.
Right, subsidizing the whole thing.
Exactly. But today, they are finally passing the check back to the developers. Welcome to the hard economics of AI. It is Tuesday, June 16th, 2026, and the honeymoon phase of infinite cheap computing, it's done.
It is entirely done. We're looking at a system-wide reality check. I mean, the experimental phase where nobody really cared what a line of code actually cost to execute,
Yeah.
that mindset has crashed headfirst into the physical limits of infrastructure and financial viability, honestly.
Totally. And we have a massive stack of sources on the table for this deep dive today. We're pulling from a really comprehensive global AI daily briefing, some raw financial market data that just hit the wire this morning, and some incredibly sharp legal commentary from industry expert Kim King-jin.
Which is fascinating stuff, by the way.
Oh, it's so good. So our mission today is to figure out how this sudden shift is rewriting the rules of the tech world. Because whether you are a developer, an investor, or just someone trying to understand the future, this affects you.
Because it's happening everywhere all at once.
Right.
Like we are tracking drastic software price hikes, a violent $2 trillion reshuffling of the stock market,
And a
and
frantic race by entire nations to build their own hardware.
exactly.
So if you are listening to this, you are probably feeling the tremors. Maybe you're a developer whose automated workflows just hit a paywall today.
Or an investor wondering why your legacy tech stocks are suddenly bleeding capital.
Right. So stick with us because we are going to connect all of those dots.
Yeah.
And I think the clearest place to see this new reality taking shape is with Anthropic.
Yeah, that pricing update yesterday.
Right. So on June 15th, Anthropic fundamentally changed the rules for their Claude models. They took what they call programmatic usage and completely decoupled it from their standard subscription.
Which is a huge deal, and we should probably translate that for a
Time
second.
for it.
When they say programmatic usage, they're talking about tools like the Agent SDK, CloudTick, GitHub Actions.
Basically, automated AI agents.
Exactly. This isn't a human typing a question into a chat box. This is a developer writing a script that tells an AI, hey, I want you to monitor this database, analyze every new entry, and rewrite the code automatically every 5 seconds, all day long.
Okay, let's unpack this because it's like you've been eating at an all-you-can-eat buffet, right? But suddenly the restaurant tells you that the robotic arm bringing the food to your table costs an extra fee per trip.
That's a perfect analogy.
Yeah.
Because up until yesterday, developers were paying a flat $20 monthly fee for those continuous loops.
Which is crazy cheap.
Right. Think about the mechanics. Every single time that agent analyzes a database, it requires massive server processing power. Anthropic was subsidizing thousands of dollars in real-world compute costs just to encourage adoption.
But the subsidy is dead. They've moved all automated actions to a separate credit pool. If you're a pro user, you get a $20 a month credit. Max 5x gets $100. Max 20x gets $200.
But here's the kicker.
Yeah, standard API rates now apply. The credits do not roll over, and you have to manually activate it.
Right.
If your automated agent burns through your credits by, say, the third day of the month, and you haven't authorized overflow billing, the software just stops.
It's a hard stop. And King Kung Jin's commentary points out why this is such a watershed moment. He notes this is the third billing change from Anthropic since January 2026.
Wow, third one.
Yeah. Kim argues this is the first undeniable signal of the real AI agent economy cost structure. So corporate legal teams scanning millions of contracts or logistics companies routing shipping, they suddenly have to budget for API costs separately.
So it changes the whole ROI calculation.
Completely. You have to look at a task and ask, does the value of this task exceed the exact dollar amount of the compute required to run it?
Right, because if the output isn't generating more revenue than the API cost, you just turn the AI off.
The blank check is gone.
And that sudden ceiling on software growth, it is terrifying Wall Street right now. If developers can't afford infinite loops, they buy less cloud compute.
Which is causing a violent rotation in the market.
Which brings us to the explosive SpaceX IPO, ticker symbol SPCX. This is wild. In just 3 trading days since its June 12th listing, the stock has surged over 50% from its $135 IPO price.
Over 50%.
Yeah. In pre-market trading today, it crossed $207.
The scale of that movement is staggering. I mean, we're looking at a market cap nearing $2.7 trillion.
Wait, $2.7 trillion.
Yeah, SpaceX is poised to overtake Amazon in valuation in less than a week.
That is unbelievable. And at the exact same time, the legacy big tech companies, you know, the Magnificent Seven that drove the market for years, they lost $2 trillion in market cap in June alone.
While the S&P 493, the rest of the index, is up over 10%. Double the tech giant.
Okay, wait. I have to push back on this narrative.
Yeah.
If the big tech companies are the ones building this AI revolution, why are they suddenly losing trillions to new mega IPOs like SpaceX? Is this just shiny new toy syndrome? I mean, SpaceX builds rockets?
Well, that's exactly the macro trend Kim Kung-jin breaks down. Mm-hmm. Investors aren't looking at SpaceX as just a rocket company. They are looking at Starlink as a decentralized global data grid.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Legacy big tech relies on centralized data centers that are suddenly facing energy constraints and slowing software adoption because of those API costs we just talked about.
Right.
SpaceX represents the new frontier of infrastructure. It's vacuuming capital directly out of the legacy tech stocks.
So the market is anticipating a new wave of AI IPOs, SpaceX first, and then probably OpenAI and Anthropic next.
Precisely. Investors are cashing out of the old guard to bet on the new giants, and the market mechanics are forcing this rotation to speed up, like SpaceX was rapidly added to the MSCI World Index.
Right, which means massive passive index funds and retirement accounts are legally required to buy the stock. If you have a standard 401k, your money is likely buying SpaceX right now.
Exactly. And today, June 16th, is going to be exceptionally volatile.
Huh?
Because the Chicago Board Options Exchange, the CBOE, is launching SpaceX options trading.
Oh boy. Which introduces the threat of a gamma squeeze.
It really does.
Let's break that down for a second. When retail investors buy massive amounts of call options, betting the stock will go up, the market makers who sell those options take on massive risk.
Infinite risk, technically.
Right. So to hedge that risk, the market makers are forced to go into the open market and buy the actual underlying SpaceX stock.
Which creates a vicious feedback loop. They buy the stock, the price goes up, the options become more valuable, which attracts more retail buyers.
Forcing the market makers to buy even more stock. It's a powder keg.
And add that to the broader macro picture today. We have the FOMC meeting starting, led by the new Fed chair, Kevin Warsh.
Right. And the forecast there is what, a 97.4% chance of a rate freeze?
Exactly. Holding steady at 3.50 to 3.75%. When borrowing stays that expensive, it punishes legacy companies with high debt and rewards new companies like SpaceX that just raised billions in cash.
Plus, we have the triple witching hour coming up on Thursday the 18th.
Oh, right.
For those unfamiliar, that's a calendar anomaly where stock options, index futures, and index options all expire on the exact same day. It forces massive mandatory trading volume.
It's going to be chaotic. And to temper all this euphoria, our briefing notes a very stark warning from Jim Chanos.
A legendary short seller.
The one and only. He basically warned that stocks trading at 100 times their revenue rarely reward investors in the long run.
Yeah, the math always catches up with the hype.
Always.
But here's where it gets really interesting. While U.S. markets are busy rotating trillions internally, the global stage is completely shifting because other nations just do not want to rely on American tech monopolies anymore.
We are seeing the massive rise of the sovereign AI movement.
Totally. Let's look at India. Sarvam AI just closed a $234 million Series B led by HCL Tech.
Yeah.
That puts them at a $1.5 billion valuation.
A unicorn, just like that.
Exactly. And their whole mission is to build India's sovereign AI stack, focusing on regional languages.
Which is such a crucial detail, because linguistic independence is technological independence. If a country's legal and healthcare systems run on an AI trained mostly on American cultural norms.
Yeah, they compromise their digital sovereignty.
Exactly. Sarvam AI is building a localized intelligence layer to stop that.
And then look at China. Two massive IPOs just passed review. First, you have Yonthan AI, a major GPU maker, raising 6 billion yuan, though the briefing does mention they rely on Tencent for like 80% of their sales.
Still, it's massive capital.
Huge. And second, Weshin Semiconductor, a 12-inch wafer foundry, is raising 75 billion yuan.
So India is securing the software, and China is throwing billions at the foundational hardware.
Right. And even inside the U.S., companies are capitalizing on this desire for independence. Down in Miami, a startup called HydraHost just raised $100 million at an $800 million valuation.
Their business model is brilliant.
It really is. They act as a broker for idle AI compute space. They find unused server capacity in independent data centers and sell it, completely bypassing AWS or Azure.
We are watching the total balkanization of AI.
Yes. It's exactly like countries realizing they can't rely on a single global power grid. So they are all rushing to build their own local power plants and substations.
Because supply chain security is the ultimate priority now. And lawyer Kim Kung-jin points out a deeply ironic twist here. This whole global infrastructure race, it traces directly back to U.S. policy.
You're talking about the Faber 5 export controls.
Exactly. The U.S. designed the Faber 5 controls to choke off China's access to advanced American AI hardware. The goal was to starve Chinese competitors of the chips they needed.
But Kim's analysis shows it completely backfired.
Spectacularly. It acted as the greatest venture capital catalyst in Chinese history. Because Chinese tech companies were legally barred from buying American chips, they had this massive, captive domestic market.
So demand for domestic hardware like Huawei's Ascend chips just exploded overnight.
Right. The U.S. pressure paradoxically accelerated China's self-reliance. It forced their domestic GPU and foundry markets to mature years ahead of schedule. Now you have companies like Yanson AI and Weixin getting state-backed demand to expand.
I mean, we are looking at this impartially, but you just have to marvel at the unintended consequences.
Yeah.
The policy meant to suppress a competitor ended up funding their infrastructure.
Capital always finds a way around a blockade.
It really does. And this brings us to the convergence of everything we've talked about today. Anthropic proved the software brains are ruthlessly expensive. The stock market is shifting trillions to pure play infrastructure like SpaceX. Nations are spending billions on sovereign chips and decentralized servers.
But all of this infrastructure, it ultimately has to power something tangible in the physical world. Right, the end game wasn't just chatbots.
No, which is why the live event happening today in Los Angeles is so significant.
Right, Faraday Future, ticker symbol FFAI. They are unveiling their embodied AI or EAI robotics education ecosystem.
This isn't just software. They are showcasing physical humanoid robots, bionic machines, automotive robots.
So what does this all mean? Are we finally seeing the moment where we stop typing into chat windows and actually inject these incredibly expensive AI brains into physical moving bodies?
We are. Faraday Future proposes a continuous loop. Device, data, and EAI brain. The physical robot acts, gathers sensor data, feeds it to the brain, which processes it and instructs the next movement.
Wow.
But connect that back to the economics. To run that EAI brain, you need massive compute, the kind HydroHost is brokering. To process data locally, you need specialized hardware, the sovereign chips from China and India.
And most importantly, every single time that robot makes a decision, it triggers a software event. It's governed by those strict metered costs Anthropic just implemented. Every time the robot grabs an object, a microtransaction happens in the background.
The physical AI future is arriving, but it's going to be meticulously metered.
Unbelievable. So, to summarize the territory we've covered, June 16th, 2026 is basically the moment the blank check era of AI ended.
Yep.
From Anthropic's pay-to-play rules, to SpaceX draining the Mag7's market cap, to the global race for sovereign hardware, the industry is now ruled by hard economics.
Hard economics and physical supply chains. But, you know, understanding all this leaves us with one really critical, unaddressed question.
What's the blind spot?
If AI compute becomes this strictly metered, incredibly expensive resource, guarded by sovereign nations and priced out of reach by massive API tolls, what happens to the independent developer in their garage? If you have a brilliant idea, but you literally can't afford the API costs just to test your software loops, are you priced out of the revolution? Will the next world-changing innovation only be possible if you have a billionaire or a nation-state backing you?
That is a heavy, fascinating thought to leave on. And to you listening, thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Whether you're reevaluating your software architecture, watching your index funds, or just navigating a world where intelligence has a strict price tag, we hope this gave you a clearer map of the underlying mechanics. Keep questioning the consensus, and we will catch you on the next deep dive.